This is the Diehards.
Sale winds. He fires. Swing and a miss. Frankly, it's over. The Red Sox have won the World Championship.
Tom Brady takes the snap, drops to the knee, and the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
The Diehards start now on the SportsMap Radio Network. Here's Anthony Pepe and John Lyons.
Welcome into hour number two of the Diehards on this Wednesday evening. And big thank you to John Bellmer, the best producer in the business. And I am joined, luckily, by Mason Souza and Shukri Wrights. So it's been
Hello.
A great night so far.
Yeah, obviously an hour flies by like usual. A lot on Kevin Durant and the NBA. A lot more with our guests coming up. But you guys want to transition just a little bit to the NFL?
Yeah, well, look, so we do have Peter Yiannopoulos coming up next segment, NBA expert. But the NHL schedule was released today. Believe it or not, only like a week and a half after the Cup ended.
Thank God.
But I want to ask you guys right off the top.
Mm-hmm.
Colorado, they going to win the Cup again? I mean, are they that team? Again, are they going to be the new Lightning, the new top dog year in and year out?
They could be, but this free agency period is going to be so fascinating, which doesn't start until July 13th. That is going to be the big sticking point for not only the Bruins, but potentially for Colorado and all of the other NHL teams as well.
Yeah, and you look at – I still think Colorado's got to figure out that goaltending situation. Like,
yeah.
I know they won, but that was kind of shaky. But for the Bruins, right, so this is a team that is in a weird spot. 3 years ago, they're at Game 7 of the Cup Final. They lose in the second round, and then lose in the first round in three consecutive years. Game 7, lost this year, first round. They're going to be without – Marchand without McAvoy for the first couple months of the year. Bergeron may be a little hobbled. We'll see if David Krejci comes back. To me, if I'm the Bruins, I just have my eye on get me in the playoffs. Even if I'm the last wild card spot, just get me there. And just survive this early season stretch. Because I think if they can get in there and get all these guys healthy, they'll be much better than they were last year. But the problem is their early season stretch, real tough.
Oh my God, yeah. And obviously, bad news for a new head coach, Jim Montgomery. You know, obviously they got rid of Bruce Cassidy because they want to appease to their role player and their youngins with fragile minds and fragile egos, but that's besides the
point.
Imagine
if they just drafted better young players.
Yeah, they could have done that.
Oh, some of that Doss really could have done.
That's ridiculous, Doc. But anyway, there's a stretch next year, currently speaking, where it's like, ew, like, are we going to be talking about firing the new coach already?
Yeah, November 21st through December 11th is going to be tough. We have Peter Yiannopoulos coming up to talk a little bit more NBA, so stick with us here on the Die Hard Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to the Diehards on the SportsMap Radio Network. Here's Anthony Pepe and John Lyons.
Welcome back into the Diehards. We've spent most of the night so far talking NBA, specifically Kevin Durant, his destinations. And to help us with that, we welcome an NBA insider from TSN, as well as SB Nation and several other outlets, Peter Yiannopoulos. Peter, how you doing tonight?
Good morning. Actually, it's a great evening tonight. How we doing?
Hey, we're doing great, man. And I want to get right into it here, Peter, because we've spent most of our show talking about the Kevin Durant trade request and destinations. I just want to get your take right off the top. Where do you think is the best destination for Kevin Durant to go?
Well, if you look at the last real, true, disgruntled superstar that had a championship resume and wanted to leave his destination, his name was Kawhi Leonard. And Kawhi got to Toronto, to the Raptors, to Canada, and he went to a championship organization, went there, bought into their program, bought into their platform, and they made Kawhi, and he helped them, no question about it. But the way the Masai Ujiri, the president of basketball operations, all the way to Nick Nurse, and the culture of what the Raptors have been able to do brought Kawhi and the Raptors a championship. If Kevin Durant wants to win another championship, be that focal point and be the man to help the whole country galvanize a player like Kevin Durant, who has a humongous ego and wants it to be flattered, and I think the perfect fit is Toronto. Not just because of what the city and their organization is like. They have the assets that Brooklyn wants. They have the draft picks. They have the draft capital. I think that if Kevin wants to go somewhere and he's going to be fulfilled on and off the court, I think Toronto is the preferred destination. In my opinion, it's a win-win for both Brooklyn, the Raptors, and for Kevin Durant.
Yeah, and that's a great point about what the Raptors can give back. They have Scottie Barnes as well as first-round picks, other pieces. As far as Brooklyn and what they're looking for, now you mentioned the Toronto, what they can give. Who do you think can put together the best package for a Kevin Durant for Brooklyn?
Well, it depends what, you know, Sean Marks, Joseph Tsai, the owner of Brooklyn, what they want in return and how they want to build their team. You're going to have a disgruntled Kyrie Irving there. I think they're going to want to move him. You have a Ben Simmons as a 6'10" point guard coming into his prime. Do you want to keep building with Simmons and a package that will be competitive immediately and try and compete to get to the conference finals, potentially the NBA finals? Then you want the best possible all-star player to come back immediately. If you want some younger players, with one young emerging star and a bunch of draft picks, then at the end of the day, if you're Toronto, yes. If I'm Brooklyn, I want Scottie Barnes. I'm not quite sure Toronto's going to want to give Scottie Barnes up. Probably looking at Pascal Siakam, who is an all-star player right now. It's difficult if you're Phoenix because they cannot land DeAndre Ayton, that is Brooklyn, because they already have Ben Simmons there when they acquired the free agent max contract. That's going to be difficult. Miami, Bam Adebayo can't go there either. So, you know, do you want Tyler Hero, Kyle Lowry, Duncan Robinson? Not quite sure that's going to really tantalize the Brooklyn Nets. Somebody like a Brandon Ingram in New Orleans, who's a centerpiece, who's a guy that's probably not a franchise superstar, but he is probably like a 1B type of player in a franchise. You could build around Ingram and Simmons and when you can get for Kyrie. So it all depends what Brooklyn really wants. At the end of the day, guys, this is about leverage. Anytime there's a disgruntled player, there's one team that has the leverage. And right now, it's not Brooklyn because their star player wants to leave. Obviously, the NBA teams, they're going to lowball Brooklyn right now. That's what's happening with their trade offers. But eventually, somebody's going to up the ante, and it's probably going to give somebody else that they didn't want. And if Rudy Gobert yielded you 5 first-round picks, what is Kevin Durant going to give you? But again, do you want first-round pick, or do you want immediate help where you can compete and try and win an NBA championship? That's the question that Brooklyn, I'm sure, in their war room are looking at before they pull the trigger on any trade for Kevin Durant.
Hey, good evening. One of the things that I have thought about a lot in recent days is in terms of the playoff picture going into next season. I think right now in the Eastern Conference, you still got Boston as a team to beat. They just went out and they acquired Danilo Gallinari and as well as Malcolm Brogdon last Friday. And one was a signing and the other one and was via trade. What else do the Boston Celtics need to do in order to finally add that last missing piece to in order to secure championship number 18?
That's a great question. I would beg to differ to say that Boston is the team to beat in the East. The Milwaukee Bucks, if Chris Middleton was healthy, I don't think Boston gets by Milwaukee. With all due respect to the Celtics, they went 7 games without Middleton. Middleton will be healthy. If that team is healthy, everything goes through Milwaukee again. But Boston's right up there. Boston's right up there. And I absolutely love the acquisition of Malcolm Brogdon. What the Celtics missed in this series was, one, Jason Tatum elevating his play to match Steph Curry in the big stage, in the big moment. And two, they turned the ball over way too much. 18 to 19 turnovers a game is not going to get you that done. And Marcus Smart is an unbelievable two-way player, heart and soul. He's not a traditional point guard. Yes, they've gotten the furthest with Marcus Smart at the point guard, but acquiring Malcolm Brogdon, a guy that's in the 50, 40, 90 club. He's an efficient player. He's a proficient player. He's unselfish. He's an elite defender, which will really fit in well with what the Celtics do, and he can make big plays and create for himself or for his teammates. Gallinari is a guy probably has played his best basketball already, but it's a guy that could stretch the floor, and I think at the end of the day, the NBA today, guys, defense really like has won championships. I don't think defense it really wins you championships right now. Offense wins you championships. Is that what Golden State did? I think that at the end of the day, if you really believe, and I think that Brad Stevens does, that Tatum and Brown are going to bring you a championship, they came really close, then you don't make the move and trade Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart some picks and try to acquire Kevin Durant. But, man, if you can get Kevin Durant in the green and play in Boston, that's going to up your chances to immediately win one. I think that Boston's in a good position right now. I still think that they need a little bit, maybe probably one more outside shooter. You saw that Derek White and Grant Williams, although they're great two-way players, they weren't really consistent shooters from the perimeter, and that's what you need. That's where you're not going to have those long scoring slumps that they have. Brogdon helps. Gallinari somewhat does. If they can get one more outside shooter, I think that they'd be right there not only to surpass Milwaukee and then be the favorites to win an NBA championship.
Going back to the NBA draft, which was now almost 2 weeks ago now, I was very surprised that the Orlando Magic took Banchero at number one overall and that Smith fell to number three to Houston. If you look at the top five picks of this year's draft between Banchero, Holmgren, Smith Jr., Murray, and Ivy, which of the top five do you think has the best chance of making an immediate impact on their franchise?
Well, when you look at the draft, people have to be patient. And when you look at the NBA Summer League, you have to be extremely patient. People are going to say every player that's going to have this first really great game, they're going to be like, wow, what a stud, just like we saw last night, Chet Holmgren. He's going to be a great player. They're all going to be great players. But it's the situation and how they're going to be in their respective franchise. I think when I looked at this draft, I thought that Chet Holmgren was the best talent available, not only on an offensive standpoint, defensive standpoint. He could do it all. I think that he's going to be an immediate impact player. He's going into a team in OKC where they have two really star guards in Josh Giddey and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. So they're not going to ask much from Chet offensively, but he's going to be a force on the defensive end. Paolo is going to bring you immediate offense. Orlando needed that. He's a traditional power forward where he could play with his back to the basket. He could shoot the three. He's a great offensive player. Defensively, he's going to need some improvement. So points per game, I think that Banchero is going to be up there. I think that Jabari Smith, it's the potential, right? Is he going to be the next potential Kevin Durant type of player, or is he going to be the next Rashawn Lewis, right? You just don't know. You're hoping he's somewhere in between and somewhere trending towards that KD production. But I think a guy that's going to immediately put up a lot of numbers is Ivy with Detroit. He's a guy that has the ball in his hands, and you guys have known right now, the NBA is all about guards and wings. When you can have that ball in your hand and you can create for yourself and you don't need anybody to get you that ball, you're going to be able to put up numbers, as you've seen with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and KD and Luka and Giannis and Kawhi and LeBron. So I think that Ivy is going to put up a lot of points immediately. Keegan Murray is a good selection for Sacramento is because they needed something inside to solidify their front court. Watch out for number six, Benedict Mathurin from Indiana. I think that Chet Holmgren, Ivy, and Mathurin, who went sixth in Indiana, are going to be, in about 10 years, the three best players in this draft.
He is Peter Yiannopoulos, NBA analyst for TSN as well as SB Nation. Peter, really appreciate you taking the time tonight. Thank you for joining us.
Love being with the diehards, man. Have a great evening, everybody.
You too, thank Peter. You. And stick with us here on the diehards, because right on the other side of this break, we are going to dive into the biggest news of the day. Baker Mayfield, no longer a Cleveland Brown. He's now a Carolina Panther. We'll be right back.
This is the Diehards on the SportsMap Radio Network. Here's Anthony Pepe and John Lyons.
Welcome back into the Diehards. And look, we've spent pretty much the entire program talking about the NBA, but we did lead off with some really huge news out of the NFL today. We're going to keep talking about it now. And that's Baker Mayfield has been traded from the Cleveland Browns to the Carolina Panthers for a conditional fifth-round pick. Now, it could convey to a fourth-round pick, depending on incentives or how well Baker performs, I should say. But look, this is a guy that 4 years ago was the number one overall pick in the draft. He's thrown for 3,000 yards every year. He's been inconsistent, and there have been some injury and maturity concerns, but I don't know about you guys. I love this deal for Carolina.
You're absolutely right. It's basically a giveaway. We talked about it at the start of the show. The Cleveland Browns tried so hard and got so far with Baker Mayfield. But and even then, Baker had to give away some of his base salary in order to, one, get out of town, two, for another team to be interested in taking him. So that's, you know, what a fall from grace from Baker. But, you know, like you said, number one overall pick, upside is somehow there. So in the end, the Panthers are like, yeah, sure, we'll give it a shot.
And then also, he goes to a situation in Carolina in which that he's going to be competing for the starting job alongside fellow top three draft pick Sam Darnold.
In the same draft class.
In the same draft class in 2018. But overall view of the trade, I look at the Carolina Panthers and I say, okay, you acquire Baker Mayfield. What does he have to offer? Because at this point, this is going to be a battle between two men who were drafted less in just 4 short years ago. They're entering year 5 of their rookie contracts, and you just wonder with the weapons that Carolina does have, because they do have some talent on the offensive side of the ball, obviously headlined by Christian McCaffrey, who we all hope and expect that he will be healthy for the 2022 season. What can Baker Mayfield do with an offensive line that I think is going to be much improved, and it should be better than Cleveland's? And what does he do with the weapons that he has surrounding him down in Carolina as well?
Yeah, and look, if you're the Carolina Panthers, if you can get the 2020 Baker Mayfield, you're in great shape. Yeah. He had 26 touchdowns and 8 picks that year. Got him to the divisional round of the playoffs. They were 5 points away from beating the Chiefs. Chiefs just had that great fourth down conversion late in the game to win. But Baker Mayfield, and look, 2021, he took a step back. He had 17, and this has been Baker's career. His rookie year, he has 27 touchdowns and 14 picks. Then his second year, he goes 22 and 21. Then his third year, he's 26 and 8, like I mentioned. And then he's 17 and 13 last year. So his issue has been consistency. But he's tough, he's got the talent, and he's a guy that teammates seem like they really want to play with and play for. And we know the Browns' current QB situation with Deshaun Watson. They don't know if they're even going to get to play with him. But if I'm Carolina and I'm looking at this division, okay, Tampa's a big dog, Super Bowl contender. But New Orleans, they're probably not going to be that good. Maybe they'll be okay, but not great. Atlanta's going to be bad again. They just traded Matt Ryan away, rookie QB probably. So I'm looking at, yeah, I could finish second in that division. And with 7 teams in the playoffs, if I'm Carolina, I'm looking, I could get in.
Yeah, looking at Baker's point of view, I mean, he's like, okay, I'm in a solid spot here, to your point of we're fighting for second in the division, you know, as long as Tom Brady's upright, you know, that's a winning division, the Tampa Bay Bucks right there. So, yeah, while he was inconsistent, that's a great point, John. Like, they were a fourth down conversion away from going to the Super Bowl, the Browns were, you know, against the Chiefs. So, you know, people seem to forget. Obviously, he can be a hothead. You know, we all remember his I'm sorry, Texas Tech?
He was at Oklahoma.
Yeah, Oklahoma. Yeah. I'm sorry. Apologies. But yeah, you know, grabbing you-know-where the region. You know, he's a talker. He's whatever. But it's not like he's a team killer or something like this. You know,
Definitely not. They destroyed
the Pittsburgh Steelers in the playoffs, a division rival, something, you know, to the whole city to cheer about. So that's a situation where, like, he has that quote-unquote dog in him, as they love to throw around
but
on Twitter these days.
But I think one thing that's important to point out, he made the Browns respectable again. Like, the Browns were a joke for, what, they went 11-5 in 2007 with Derek Anderson. Were a joke pretty much after that. Baker came in and was like, okay, this is at least a real team.
Yeah.
And a real opponent now. And I think he goes to Carolina, that respectability comes to them.
Also, he's going to be surrounded with stability for the first time in Lord knows how long.
Sure.
Because remember, for the first 2 years of his career, what did he have to deal with? Turmoil.
Yeah.
There was turnover in terms of the offensive coordinator, the head coach, and you go to Carolina, you got Matt Rhule, who I think if he continues to build what he has down in Carolina, he should be A-okay, given the division that he's in. But I sincerely wonder this one thing that has nagged me about Baker Mayfield the longest, and that is, how bad does he truly want it? because you've seen the times that when he's good, he's good. He's not great, but he's good. Now, the question is going to become, you're in Carolina, you're competing against Sam Darnold. How bad do you want to take reins as being the number one guy in Carolina for a team that has a chance to compete for the playoffs? That's going to be the big thing when it comes to Mayfield. And I just feel as if that he doesn't have that bullish dog that people talk about. If he does, it's maybe for a flash in the pan and that's it. It's like the fast candle that's lit, and then the wind comes through and it just snatches it out, and all of a sudden everybody's in the darkness again.
Well, what's interesting to me is Christian McCaffrey's the best offensive player Baker Mayfield's played with, and no disrespect
by
to Odell Beckham, but it didn't work out there. Jarvis Andrews okay, but yeah, McCaffrey's the best offensive player he's played with, and look at the NFC. So in the NFC East, I think the Cowboys and the Eagles will get in the playoffs. In the NFC South, you could say the Panthers and the Bucks. The West, you have, I think, the 49ers and the Rams, and then just the Packers in the North. That's your seven, including the Panthers. If Mayfield comes in, like, let's not forget how bad Sam Darnold was and how how bad Cam Newton was when he went back to Carolina last year. If Baker Mayfield is just pretty good, not even great, like you're saying, if he's just pretty good, I think if they miss the playoffs, they're still battling for that seven seed all year. They're no longer one of the down laughingstock teams in the NFL.
Yeah, and the Panthers are looking at a situation where, yes, Darnold, Newton, they got P.J. Walker, they got the rookie Corral there from Ole Miss. So, yeah, here's another situation where will competition bring out the best in these quarterbacks? And then, obviously, Mayfield is a free agent after this season. Do they want to spend the big money and say, like, okay, we have something here. We have something if Christian McCaffrey, to your point, Shukri, can he stay upright? Robbie Anderson, DJ Moore, one of the better young wide receivers in this league, and they're building a strong defense as well. You know, when Tom Brady retires in the next 10 years, who knows when that will be. But, you know,
probably 10 years.
Yeah, 10 years. That could be a division for the Panthers to hold, you know, depending on what happens with Mayfield moving forward. Because on the flip side, like, how stupid the Browns, you know, one thing with Deshaun Watson, giving him all that money with 23 counts of whatever the hell he was doing over there, you know, they lost Mayfield immediately, you know, when that deal was made to you were talking about dysfunction. Mayfield brought respectability, as you said, to that organization for the first time this millennium, quite frankly. Yeah. So, you know, in the end, I'm more so, Baker Mayfield. Is he, to your point, Shukri, does he only get going when it's 75 and sunny, per se? Does he really have the resilience in him? I'm not sure. I'm not ready to totally, dismiss him on that fact. We'll find out in this pivotal year for him how he responds. But it's a situation where, you know, you're revitalized now. You got a new situation. Can you take advantage of it and make the Browns look like fools?
And that's something that I do wonder about Baker Mayfield as we get ready to start the 2022 season. In a season in which that there's going to be a whole bevy of headlines across the NFL. But Baker Mayfield, for some reason, and I talked about this nationally before, he seems to be the one quarterback you just have a very hard time making out as to what he really is. Unless if you're Colin Cowherd, in which that he's repeatedly absolutely annihilated Baker Mayfield on his show. But from a pure football standpoint, you're like, what exactly do you make of this guy? Listen, this is someone you want to talk about who is polarizing, who is a personality? Sure. We all remember him from his progressive insurance commercials, you know, trying to take care of the stadium in Cleveland or trying to get back into the stadium. I thought it was actually hilarious seeing pictures from that commercial saying, man, you can't even get back into the stadium because you've been traded.
That was long-time storytelling.
Exactly.
You couldn't get into the stadium.
You couldn't get back in.
That's great.
We've got a lot more thoughts to get to on this, including what does this look like for the Cleveland Browns now, because they may not have a quarterback at all this year. So stick with us here on the Diehards. Right after this break, we're going to continue to break down the Baker Mayfield trade.
This is the Diehards on the SportsMap Radio Network. Here's Anthony Pepe and John Lyons.
Baker Mayfield is now a Carolina Panther, and I'm John Lyons alongside Shukri Wrights and Mason Susan. We've been talking about that for a little while now, and look, we talked about what does this look like for Carolina, and we agree that this could put them to second place in that division, maybe a playoff spot, but look at Cleveland. You know, this is a guy that 4 years ago was number one overall pick, took him to the divisional playoffs 2 years ago, and the best they could get was a conditional fifth-round pick. They could maybe be a fourth. To me, first of all, it's a bad return, but second of all, with this whole Deshaun Watson cloud, the Browns could be in for a really rough season. I mean, look, and no disrespect to Jacoby Brissett, but the Browns have a huge question mark now at the most important position in sports.
No question, and I think that that doesn't help matters when you're talking about the AFC North. You talk about Baltimore, that's going to be a contender with Lamar Jackson. And Lamar Jackson is entering a very, very critical season in terms of his future in Baltimore. So you're not going to convince me that he's not playing with a chip on his shoulder going into 2022. And then also Pittsburgh, yes, I get that, you know, like they're in a bit of a transition now that the Ben Roethlisberger era has officially closed. But I do think that that Pittsburgh will still hang around, but I don't expect them to make the playoffs coming out of the AFC North, let alone as a wild card. But, oh man, if you're Cleveland, I'm thinking to myself, if this goes as bad as I think this could go in terms of Deshaun Watson, I think they really have shot themselves in the foot, because in the very least, there's no questioning Deshaun Watson's talent, but in the very least, you had someone that was available
was
for your
there.
Team, that he was
yes.
going to be there. And we talk about in the NFL how availability is the best ability and how important that is for your quarterback to be there. And even if, let's say, air quotes, best case scenario, Deshaun Watson gets suspended, what, 8 games? That's half of your season. That's, and what's now a 17-game, 18-week NFL season?
Yeah,
it's unbelievable because, yeah, we talked about it in the last break. I think, John, you brought it up. You're like, at least Baker won you something. They got you to the playoffs and won a playoff game, mm-hmm. Something the Browns couldn't have said for a long time. And you get rid of that guy for a criminal, let's say, you know, coming in, Deshaun Watson, who knows how long he's going to be. And you were saying this pre-show, John, about the thought, like, the Cleveland Browns, you know, getting this deal done – must know something is coming down the pipeline very soon with Deshaun Watson getting rid of Baker Mayfield. Or on the flip side, I brought the idea of maybe they got with Baker or his agents or family is like, okay, there's no chance Baker is playing with you after that. So which way would you?
Yeah, lead? Look, I do wonder if Cleveland, because Deshaun Watson's disciplinary hearing is wrapped up now, I wonder if they kind of have some info that Watson will be suspended for 10 games or for a year, and they're willing to just say, all right, we'll move on from Baker, take one down year, and then we'll have Deshaun Watson in his prime ready to play for us. But look, you look at the AFC North. I agree. Pittsburgh is probably not going to make the playoffs. However, they still have the defensive player of the year.
Yeah.
They still have Deontay Johnson and Pat Freiermuth. Like, they're not a pushover. Cincinnati just made the Super Bowl and fixed their only weakness, which was the offensive line.
Yep.
And then Baltimore, if they didn't have, what was it, 25 guys on injured reserve, and they lost all those games, remember, we're going
for two.
John Harbaugh would go for two.
But yeah. Correct.
Even if all those guys are healthy, maybe you don't have to go for two in those games. Maybe you win those games, and they're in the playoffs. Maybe they win the division, and I look at it as, right now, to me, best-case scenario, the Browns are the third-best team in the division, because I think Baltimore's better healthy, Cincinnati's better right now, and if Jacoby Brissett, who, frankly, I think he's a slightly below-average quarterback, if that's what he gives you for 17 games, you might finish fourth behind Pittsburgh. So, I mean, this is something where you went from a fourth down away from going to the AFC Championship game 2 years ago. Now you might finish last in your division. And look, even if Deshaun Watson comes back next year, okay, he spent it all this year, let's just say, and last year he didn't play at all. So it's a guy that hasn't played in 2 years mm-hmm. in a new offensive system, new guys around him, working with new coaches. That might take a half season to get acclimated. So the Browns, look, they're taking a massive risk here. And if it doesn't work out, they're going to be back to square one, because then all these other guys in the supporting cast are going to be older and they're going to have to start over.
No, you're absolutely right. I don't know if they got to bring Kevin Costner back in and, you know, have a draft day all over again to kind of revitalize that franchise, because it was never revitalized.
Just don't bring back Hugh
beginning.
Jackson. All right?
Yeah. Jeez. You know, obviously that situation. I mean, you talk about the Steelers. Yeah, they have the defensive player. Yeah, they also have a tremendous defensive coach in Brian Flores. So it's not like – and fun fact here, out of all the teams in the NFL, the Pittsburgh Steelers have not been in fourth place in the division longer than anyone else. I think it's been over 30 years since the last time they finished last in their division. So they're not, while they might not be good, I don't think they're going to be terrible because of that history shows and Mike Tomlin is a decent coach. But yeah, back to the, you know, the whole situation with Baker, it was brewing for a long time ever since this Deshaun Watson trade. And I don't understand what the Browns are looking for. They just
an adult, remember?
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They were looking for an adult and they didn't get one. But the point is, you know, they kind of just followed suit with all this tremendous tidal wave of quarterback changing and significant players and like, oh, we need to be a part of the mix in the AFC too. But in the end, like Shukri, to use your phrase, like they very well could have shot themselves in the foot, maybe both feet, maybe like amputated themselves because mm-hmm. they might be done for the next 20 years.
And that is a dangerous proposition to be in because we know that the quarterback is very difficult to draft that guy. It doesn't happen
so difficult.
Often. Like, every year you look at the draft and say, okay, who's the top quarterback coming out? Like, but that guy is not that transcendent talent that's going to lead the franchise to the promised land. The last great NFL prospect that turned into that guy was Joe Burrow.
Yep.
And Joe Burrow is that guy for Cincinnati now, something that they never had. They had Carson Palmer, but he was nowhere near the caliber of quarterback that Joe Burrow is. So if you're Cleveland, that's why when the day that they signed him, it was like, man, this is a big if. It's not based on talent, but it's going to be based on you better hope that, one, he doesn't go to jail, or two, and if he does, man, financially, that's a $250 shot to the head that you just self-inflicted upon your own franchise.
Now, let's not forget, they gave him a massive contract, but they structured it in a way where they don't really lose much money, and neither does he if he gets suspended all of this year. So you almost think that they're kind of expecting him mm-hmm. to be suspended for all of this year. And I just look in their division, Cincinnati, not only are they just went to the Super Bowl, and as I said, they addressed their weakness, they're here to stay. That's a young team.
Yeah.
Baltimore, Lamar Jackson is still a young player. Like, that's a young team with a good young core and a good head coach. Those teams are not going anywhere.
Nope.
And if, let's just say Kenny Pickett's good, then all of a sudden, boom, Pittsburgh's there to stay. I mean, this stuff goes quickly. Like, look, teams fall fast in Cleveland. Remember, let's not – 2 years ago, they were a trendy pick to go to the Super Bowl. Now we're talking about them fourth in their division. So I just wonder – look, it's a massive risk, but I wonder if not only are they going to miss the playoffs, I really wonder if they're going to stay out of last place.
I mean, that's a great question. I'm not even sure if they're going to stay out of last place, only because I think of the division, and you look up and down between Cincinnati, Baltimore, and Pittsburgh. Cleveland is that team right now that you look and say, who's your quarterback? Well, half of people will say, well, what about Deshaun Watson? He might not even be available. But you talk about Cincinnati, T. Higgins, Jamar Chase. Dixon.
Yeah, Joe Mixon, like, unbelievable trio.
Seriously, that trio may be the best trio that we've seen in the NFL since the Dallas Cowboys trio of Irvin, as well as Aikman and as well as Emmitt Smith as well.
You were talking about how it's so difficult to get that quarterback. Look at that 2018 draft real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Baker Mayfield, Carolina Panther. Pick number 3, Sam Darnold, now a Carolina Panther. The next quarterback, Josh Allen, Buffalo Bills, arguably a top 3 quarterback in the league now. So you're talking about how difficult it is to get that guy. Baker Mayfield, at least, again, to the point, he actually won you something, Cleveland, for the first time in 15 years. And you get rid of this guy for this wildly unknown situation.
100%. It's a wildly unknown situation because you like, look, Deshaun Watson can be suspended for 8 games. He could get suspended for 2 years.
True.
Like, there is no idea what's going to happen. And if this guy gets suspended for 2 years, and then he goes, so it's 3 years without playing, and then he comes back and he's touching 30, like, is that guy going to come back and be a top five elite QB like he was when he left?
You'd be a completely different person.
Yeah.
You know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of you dump your girlfriend of 3 years.
I like this. Here we go.
You dump your girlfriend of 3 years for the smoking, gorgeous woman that you meet, let's say 2 months ago on a night out. And little do you know, she comes with domestic violence. She's a stage five clinger. She absolutely would rip your brakes out of the car if she didn't get her way. So you go from what's known, someone that's been there for you through thick and thin.
Men, listen up.
For someone who absolutely will literally turn your life upside down. That's what this is.
That's what the Cleveland Browns just did.
Literally.
They just brought on the crazy boyfriend, if you will. But
I mean, yeah.
look, but I think even let's compare like just to a football situation. Michael Vick, right? He goes
Great
away.
Point, yeah.
He's in jail for what, 3 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Now he came back and he had a season in 2010 with the Eagles. He was an MVP candidate.
Yeah.
But he had to kind of remake. He was not the same athlete when he came back. He became more of a passer, and it was an adjustment for a little bit. And it wasn't that long that he was great anymore. Like he had that 2010 year. And then he kind of fell off after that.
Yeah.
You wonder, does Deshaun Watson come back and have one good year and fall off, or does he take a year or two to even get back to what he was?
He also wasn't paid $200 million
and
for however many years.
And they didn't give up like 3 first-round picks to get him.
Exactly.
And that's why I think, like, if you're the Browns, you got to hope the suspension isn't long, and you got to hope he can come back and play well. And the thing is, you look around the AFC. I mean, the Bills were 13 seconds away from beating the Chiefs, and I think if they had beaten the Chiefs, they would have beat the Bills and gone to the Super. Beat the Bengals and gone to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
The Bengals did go to the Super Bowl. We already talked about the Ravens. The Chargers are my dark horse pick to go to the AFC Championship game. Patriots still have the best coach of all time and a good young quarterback. Like you have, and the Chiefs are still the Chiefs. The AFC, it's going to be really hot. Like 10 wins might not get you in the playoffs.
Oh, absolutely.
And we're talking about a team that might not have their starting quarterback for 10 or more games. So. Like, the AFC right now is as good as it's ever been, and I didn't even mention Russell Wilson in Denver, and now you're looking at a Cleveland team that really, to me, I think they missed the playoffs, and I worry about them not just missing the playoffs this year, but going forward as well.
Yeah, like, bring back the brown paper bags. Now that we're talking about it over the next 15 minutes, like, the brownies are back. Like, it just, 0-16 is on the table. Hugh Jackson, everybody, the carnival's back in town in Cleveland because, yeah, that could be an absolute, if he is missing a year, 2 years, if he's in jail for who knows how long with all these counts, like, holy hell, what a mess up, Cleveland. Like, you, again, I can't emphasize enough, this mm-hmm. enough. You actually had a somewhat winner. Your quarterback for the first time in who knows how long in Cleveland, and you threw him away. You threw him out the door for who knows what the hell you're getting in return.
And it's wild thinking about it because you basically live in action reenacted an Usher scene from that music video. Like, watch this. Like, it's just amazing. It's amazing to see how you can go from something that is at least somewhat stable, although Baker Mayfield deservedly did deserve like the criticism that he's received.
Yeah, sure.
To something.
Yeah, we're not saying Baker Mayfield was this elite.
He was
player.
Elite. He was perfect. No, he was not.
But he was available to your point, and he was an above average to pretty good quarterback most of the time he was there. Which right now, a lot of teams would take that, including
exactly, possibly
the Cleveland Browns this year. Stick with us here on the Diehards. We will be right back for our final segment of the show.
You're listening to the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Anthony Pepe and John Lyons.
Final segment of the show tonight on the Diehards. John Lyons here, joined by Shukri Wrights and Mason Souza. Huge thank you to John Bellmer down in Houston, producing for us. He's the best producer in the business. And look, guys, we talked a lot about Baker Mayfield. We talked a lot about Kevin Durant in the NBA tonight, but we have a really big series in the MLB starting tomorrow night. The Yankees are going to go to Fenway for 4. And look, the Red Sox are 13 games back of the Yankees in the AL East, so they're not going to catch the Yankees in the AL East. However, That wild card battle between Boston, Tampa Bay, and Toronto, all three teams in the AL East, all within a couple games of each other, I think if you're the Red Sox, at a minimum, you really got to win two games of this series, but I think you got to win three just to keep the pressure on Toronto and Tampa Bay, because as we've talked about, they have Tampa Bay right now, the Yankees after this, then coming out of the All-Star break, they have the Blue Jays, more other series against the Yankees and Rays. This is the biggest stretch of the season for the Red Sox.
No question, which is why like this stretch right now is massive. I'll take a step further. They got to win three out of four. And then next week, they got the Rays at Tampa Bay and then the Yankees at Yankee Stadium. So this is really going to be a season-defining stretch for this team.
Yeah, I think the Yankees are the best team in baseball right now. They're cruising. They're playing well. And by the way, Nestor Cortez, I mean, that guy, that's a real deal Cy Young candidate.
Like,
he's awesome.
No question. I think he really has been one of the big stories in Major League Baseball during this first half of the season thus far.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think if you're, right now, if you're Boston, Toronto, and Tampa Bay, I don't think anybody's catching the Yankees, barring some huge collapse or something. But I don't think anybody's catching the Yankees. So
yeah,
you're looking at those two wild card spots. That's really what you got to go after, because if you're not catching the Yankees, and that it's going to be a battle between all three of those teams. Thank you very much for joining us tonight on the Diehards. For Mason Souza, for Shukri Wrights, I am John Lyons. Have a great night, and we will talk to you again tomorrow night.